The reading this morning is from a new book called How Jesus Became God. What I have come to see is that scholars have such disagreements in part because they typically answer the question about Christ on the basis of what I have described, that the divine and human realms are distinct, with a great chasm separating the two. And the problem is that most ancient people, whether Christian, Jewish, or pagan, did not have this paradigm. For them, the human realm was not an absolute category separated from the divine realm by an enormous and unbridgeable crevasse. On the contrary, the human and the divine were two continuums that could and did overlap. In the ancient world, it was possible to believe in a number of ways that a human was divine. Here is what we think we know about the story of Jesus. Like many of the Jewish prophets before him, he thought that humanity had gotten confused about what was important about how we live, and that he walked the countryside telling stories to inspire people to live differently, and indeed living differently himself, the best way of telling that story. And he was calling people to return to their covenant with the holy presence and with each other, to live together in peace, to love our neighbors, and to put our relationship with the divine above other concerns. Unitarian Universalists have always been interested in the historical Jesus, the one that we can describe from the records that we have, from the parables that have lasted through time, and from the records that we have from the people and events around Jesus, and not from the varieties of claims about what God is or is not that cannot be proven or disproven by history. What we can see is that Jesus never talked about himself as God. Bart Ehrman, who wrote the book that I read the reading from, says that only in the last of the Gospels, John, does Jesus refer to himself as God. And many scholars are convinced that by the time the Gospel of John was being written, people had begun to rewrite the story of who Jesus was and to describe, instead of what he did in his life, to describe how much he meant to them and not just the things that he did. And how often have we humans done that in our lives? Told stories about the people who inspire us, retold their lives to begin to explain why they made us feel that so much more was possible. And Unitarian Universalists have always been focused on the actual living and the actual teaching that Jesus did while he was living. And it turns out that there is plenty of spiritual sustenance and challenge in his life. You may have seen one of the ways that a contemporary comic and social commentator has summed up Jesus recently. I have edited this slightly if you have seen it elsewhere. Jesus was a radical, nonviolent revolutionary who hung around with lepers, sex workers, and crooks, wasn't American, never spoke English, wasn't anti-wealth, no, was anti-wealth, was anti-death penalty, anti-public prayer, and was never anti-gay, never mentioned abortion or birth control, never called the poor lazy, never justified torture, never fought for tax cuts for the wealthiest Nazarenes, never asked a leper for a copay. And was a long-haired, brown-skinned, homeless, community-organizing Middle Eastern Jew. Of course, this person has articulated this in a way that amuses us because he's playing with our realities today, and you can sift back through the Gospels and find all of this as descriptions about how this man lived. And so his living was bringing new life to a world that was dying in some ways. He was calling out something that was lying dormant. In the brief passage that I read from the scholarly book, we see how that ability to call life out of the world might have made people think, this man has something that the rest of us do not. And since Jesus lived in a time when people could become divine, because God could anoint them, because divine beings could choose to be human for a time and then reveal themselves, because in the time that Jesus was alive, there were plenty of people who thought that a God and a human could have a child together who would be divine. There are many versions of that story. In the ancient world, humanity and divinity mingled. And so to say that someone was divine was perhaps to notice that they had the capacity to call out life where the rest of us couldn't see it anymore. So Jesus may have been divine, but so in his time could have a number of other people. It didn't make it unique in the world the way it does in our time. And I think that is an interesting way, not only to hear the story of Jesus, but to think about the world, to think about humanity even now. What would it be like to live in a world where humanity might at any moment reveal itself to be slightly divine? And maybe there's just something true about that. That we don't know when the mundane might suddenly be transformed. When our lives or the life of the person right next to us will change, become something more than we thought they could. We don't know when something might be asked of us that we had not thought we could do, and then we do it. These are the ways that our own lives are resurrected. And by resurrected, I mean that our day-to-day existence is revitalized, re-enlivened, made part of a life that is larger than our individual life. I mean planting apple trees on a hillside that you know you'll never see bloom, let alone fruit. I mean the life that carries all of our lives, even the apple trees planted on a hillside, so that even when one life is gone, life itself rises again. Unitarian Buckminster Fuller said, "There's nothing in a caterpillar that tells you that it is going to be a butterfly." And indeed, it's true when butterflies go into their chrysalis, they turn into a kind of mush for a while. They are nothing for a little while. They seem to die, but they come back. And they don't just come back to life, they come back utterly changed, capable of flight, of drinking nectar from flowers. In some silent interior process, they go from earthly to heavenly. Of course, we know that heaven is available on earth, that it is in fact created on earth. When we find balance and connection and the capacity to serve that life that is larger than our own, that's how we make heaven. And butterflies live in that beautiful, intricate dance with their world all the time. Moving from the mountains in Mexico until it's the right generation to come north and live on milkweed and rain. And when they're here, they pollinate the plants around us and keep the cycle of life moving when we can't even see it. And these days, when the world conspires against them, we risk losing them altogether. And you have a chance to be part of a different story for our earth, for the monarchs in particular. We have a chance to help keep these teachers, these spiritual guides, these delicate travelers alive. Start by planting those little bits of dust. Let them release their possibility for life. Let them be that brush with the divine that we are always looking for, wondering where it will show up next.